Well, BBC Online called it the world's most powerful secret society. And it's the annual Bilderberg weekend this weekend. This year it's in Spain. That is royalty, the IMF, the World Bank, Henry Kissinger, and maybe the new Lord Chancellor, Kenneth Clark. Or are they a modern-day version, as some people say, of the medieval Venetian black nobility? Anyway, they're meeting behind closed doors in Spain, with the media kept usually pretty much at least a mile away. And I'm joined on the line by Charlie Skelton, who wrote some reports for The Guardian last year and is doing the same this year. Hi, Charlie. So can you tell us what's been happening at the Bilderberg meeting so far over the last couple of days?
Well, the main thing that's been happening is that the press have turned up, actually physically on the ground, or they've started covering it a little bit more. I mean, genuinely, when I compare it with Voudegmini in Greece last year, there was very, very little written about it. But this year, you know, there's film crews, there's newspapers, and there's just a lot more buzz this year, and a lot more people.
So are you doing any sort of placard waving, or are you simply reporting on what's happening?
I haven't yet waved a placard. I fully intend to before the weekend is out. But there is a lot of placard waving, and there's quite a good relationship between the wavers of placards and the policemen standing in front of them, and it seems like they've chosen a slightly odd place to hold this meeting, because the Catalonians are a fiercely independent people, and they are not fans of overlords, and the Catalonian policemen that we've been dealing with have been, generally speaking, extremely nice, and from my experience, they're a whole lot less scary than they were in Greece.
And now, for at least 50 years, the Bilderbergers have successfully kept these meetings, which include, as I said, royalty, some of the most powerful financiers in the Western world, if not the most powerful, plus a smattering of politicians. How is it, do you think, that or has it been revealed this year who is actually in the meeting? Has it been easy to find who's been going in and out?
Veteran builder botherer Jim Tucker has come out. He's got about 15 or so names, which I half overheard him a second ago in the hotel, and the name that sprang out was Bill Gates. But we got a dozen names, which we published yesterday on The Guardian, from the hotel. We stayed at the hotel a couple of nights before lockdown, and we were able to obtain about a dozen names, and they're big names. And the one that stood out for me was Marcus Agius, or Agius, I don't know how to say it, A-G-I-U-S, and he is the chairman of Barclays and the new senior non-executive director of the BBC. So it's good to know the BBC at least got someone on the ground here.
Well, the weird thing is, a lot of the people, I mean, I've been to these meetings back in 2003 and in the year 2000, it's weird because quite a lot of the figures that are there, most people, although they're some of the most powerful people in Europe, or the NATO zone anyway, no one's actually recognises them.
I know, it's even more extraordinary than that is that when I've been ringing up a few news agencies and news corporations to simply try and drum up a bit of interest in the story and to make it so that I'm, or try and make it so that I'm not the only mainstream journalist here, and the number of times I've got through to people on the foreign desk of, let's say, I won't name any, but news corporations, and I'm talking about big names here, and you get through and you say, you know, I'm here covering the Bilderberg conference, and the answer is, the what? The Bilder, what? Who? And I'm thinking, what? What on earth are you doing? Well, you think, do you not know about this? But in fact, the conspiracy of ignorance is quite extraordinary, and I there's probably a wrong term to say conspiracy of ignorance, but the ignorance generally about Bilderberg is breathtaking and quite scary, and let's just hope that ignorance is gradually melting away, and as the lens of the internet particularly keeps getting shined upon it.
Now, they argue, of course, that it's just a private club, and why on earth shouldn't people be able to meet at a little private club in private?
Yeah, if they're private individuals, go for it. You know, if the CEO of Deutsche Bank wants to meet with Bill Gates and play ping pong, then he can do that for 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, when cabinet ministers are turning up, when MPs, elected officials are there, and when those elected officials are gliding in blackened limos and being whisked into underground car parks as they were this year, and when they lie to Parliament about having been there, like Tony Blair did, when this sort of thing happens, and you know, there's the Finnish. We one of the names we obtained was Finland's Minister of Finance, and you know, if I was a Finn, I would be wanting to know what he spoke about, what was strategized, and you know, what part to play this meeting had in the financial future of Finland. So yes, I'd be interested.
Yeah, the other thing, of course, is that Goldman Sachs are quite well known as the most friendly bankers to Bilderberg, and their Goldman Sachs representatives have been at almost all the meetings that I've covered over the last 10, 12 years. I think all of them, I don't know if they're there this year, but Goldman Sachs are currently under investigation for fraud. Do you think there's a case for the police just rounding up the people in the hotel and asking them questions about their culpability in the financial crisis?
Well, that would be very nice, because, I mean, there's certainly enough police here. They could simply just turn on their heels, turn around and start walking up the hill instead of down the hill. I don't know if that's going to happen. But, do you know, arrests is one thing. I mean, you know, obviously I'm sure there's a lot of culpability there, but simply people declaring that they have been. I mean, you know, and simply a relationship with the press. You know, that would be a start. You know, then, you know, from there, other things might happen, but you know, just I think that's what a lot of people here want, is simply a relationship with the press and with the public, because you know, these are big issues being discussed by big men, mainly men, with you know, an agenda which affects us all. And present there are, I keep saying, because it's obviously the principal point here is these decisions are being made and these strategies are being formed with elected officials. And you know, if this thing goes on in secret, why not just hold government in secret? You know, let's just all be North Korean.
Okay, Charlie, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much.
And now, Martin, what are your thoughts about the Bilderberg? Because I know one of the main people involved in the setting up of it was this chap, David Rockefeller. He's the supposed to be, anyway, the richest man in the United States. He owns something called the Chase Manhattan Bank, and his family are famous for the Standard Oil Company, which was one of the biggest cartels ever in the United States that had to be broken up by the US government into lots of different sections because it was starting like an octopus to take over the entire economy. So what about the motives behind it? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's not that crazy to imagine that people, wealthy movers and shakers, want to get together and have a strategy session. But I think, as Charlie pointed out, what's very disturbing is the elected officials being there. We know that business people get together to strategize. That's that we can hardly prevent that. But elected officials are supposedly accountable, and going to these secret meetings without telling people that they are going there is very, very suspicious. I think what's very interesting, though, this year is that the media have started to pay attention to Bilderberg for the very first time. I mean, Charlie was the only reporter, I understand, from mainstream media at last year's Bilderberg conference. This year, the mainstream media are covering it, and you yourself were on Russia Today earlier, Russian TV program, talking about it. I think that Bilderberg has been outed, basically. People now realise that this is where the financial and political elite get together once a year to, not so much to strategize, I think, as to build solidarity around already agreed policies. And of course, what's really important is what are they discussing in these conclaves. Most of what they're discussing is in the interests of the wealthy. You know, we haven't got many trade union leaders, for example, or community activists being invited to Bilderberg.
Well, we're going to hear now from author and investigative journalist Daniel Esterlin, who's author of several books on the Bilderbergers, one called Just Bilderberg and another one called The Shadow Masters.
I found out over almost 20 years of research that what today is called the Bilderberg Group already existed over 800 years ago. They were back then called the Venetian Black Nobility. In fact, Bilderberg is the creation of the Synarchy movement of empires, who are the plenipotentiary founders and financiers of Hitler. And Synarchy International, they in turn were founded by the Martinist Freemason Esoteric Secret Society back in the 1770s as a kind of counterattack on the principles upon which the United States of America was built. So again, it's a lot of people speak of Bilderberg as a domain of conspiracy theories. Of course, it's not. It's a historical fact. And again, what's today called Bilderberg 800 years ago existed. It was called back then the Venetian Black Nobility. Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of people believe that Bilderberg is about one world government or creating the new world order, especially people point out to speech made by George W. Bush back in the 1990s about the creation of one world government. It's not about that at all. It's a meeting of people who represent a particular ideology. That ideology is of money. So the idea is not to create one world government, but rather the creation of one world company limited, where the financial concerns are far more powerful than any government on earth. And we're seeing right now as evidence, very, very simple. In Europe, we had nation states. We had countries with our own constitutions, our own flags, our own currencies, our own monetary policies, and now we don't have any of that. The entire Europe is being led and directed through Brussels. In that sense, Spain, where I live, has a currency. We lost it. We had a constitution. That's now subordinate to the European constitution. Spanish flag is no longer ours. It's the European flag with little stars. And, of course, the monetary policy is decided somewhere else. And we can see what they're doing, and Greece is a very good example of that destruction we're witnessing, and Spain, of course, is going to be the next country to go.
So why was the European Parliament so interested in hearing about your findings, and what reaction did you get?
Well, actually, the European Parliament was profoundly upset that I'm here. I was invited by Liga Norte, by Mario Borghesio, one of the senior European representatives from Italy, who came across Bilderberg, actually, in the Italian version of my book about 8 months ago. Well, he didn't know that these people existed, and the fact that some of the key decision-making process over the past 6 years were taking at Bilderberg obviously surprised and astonished him. And so through him, I was invited to make a speech, a historic speech, in fact, at the European Parliament about the Bilderbergers and their roots, which was called Bilderberg Towards One World Company Limited. Well, this is the old NATO alliance. So you're talking about the European presidents, Prime Minister of Canada, the sitting president of the United States, top 50, 60 CEOs of the world's leading corporations, American senators and congressmen, European commissioners, all of the European royalty, of course, is present. And finally, talking about as well the leading bankers, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the European Central Bank, the World Bank. And finally, they're joined, and we have a lot of noise. I hope you can still hear me. We're joined at this one big table in the Bilderberg conference by the leading representatives of world media, such as New York Times, Washington Post. And the fact that you have 120 of these mammoth representatives in one room, and the fact that the press never ever reports on them until my book came out, by itself is astonishing.
What impact do you think that your findings and your speech that you gave to the European Parliament will have on the group, if any?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be an effect of an atomic bomb going off right in the middle of the parliament. A lot, obviously not literally, but figurative. The point is that Borghesio, that's Liga Norte group, is getting hundreds of calls from curious Italian media representatives who actually have never heard of Bilderbergers themselves. And so they want to know exactly how the decisions made at this very private organization fit into the world scheme. And Russia, in this particular sense, is very much a part of it or victim of it. As I reported back in 2005, by the summer 2008, Bilderbergers at their meeting talked about pushing the oil price to about $150 a barrel, and then they decided to push the oil price down, orchestrating it fall to about $30 a barrel, and it directly affects Russia because, again, China and Russia are the two main enemies of the people who are trying to create this one world government, and Russia having a lot of oil, if you can actually destroy the oil price and push it down, you're destroying Russia's economy, and China, on the other hand, which has no oil to speak of, anything you make requires a lot of oil. So by pushing the oil price, by orchestrating the price at $147.5 a barrel, you're destroying the Chinese economy. So yes, Russia has, needless to say, has been on the receiving end of the Bilderberger planning and scheming.
That was Daniel Estelin there, author of a book on the Bilderberg group, or the Bilderberg Club, which is having its conference over in Spain, a secret conference this weekend, surrounded by press around about a mile away, peering towards the hotel, wondering what's being discussed. Now, Martin, I wonder if you could just take a guess. What are the kings and queens of Europe and the heads of finance talking about in Spain today?
Well, I should imagine it's the financial people that are calling the shots. They'll be talking about what the future ahead is for the global economy, and they'll be strategizing for what they would like to see happen.
Now, George Osborne went to last year's conference, so what does that tell us about what their strategy might be?
Well, the strategy is fairly obvious. It's let's cut back public expenditure in the hopes of resurrecting private capitalism. I think that is unlikely to work for the reasons that I've often made clear on this programme. But essentially, this group doesn't include the Russians, it doesn't include the Chinese, doesn't include anybody else outside the charm circle. As the contributor there was just saying, the manipulations of things like the oil price, decisions about what to do with the dollar, all of these kind of things will be the sort of things that they'll be discussing.
So he was talking about there, Danny Estlin was saying, One World Company Limited. So is this the cartel of cartels?
When people talk about one world government and the new world order and all these kind of slogans that people use, they're forgetting that this is very much the Western political elite. It doesn't include the Russians and it doesn't include the Chinese. So what we've actually got is a geopolitical contest. You know, Eurasia, East Asia and whatever. In 1984, there were three big blocks. There are three big blocks.
Now, the thing that, as a footnote to all this, the thing that alerted me to it all was the fact that the founder of the Bilderbergers back in 1954, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, was himself an SS officer in the run-up to the Second World War. He then married into the Dutch royal family during the war, and you might say that he gave up any inclination to be a supporter of the Nazis and the SS. But actually, it's been exposed by Radio 4's document series that he was, when he was chairman of KLM Royal Dutch Airlines after the World War II, was helping to run Nazi criminals who had been sprung from jail over to South America. So it seems that the guy that founded this organisation really was a Nazi through and through. So that's one of the reasons I always feel that Bilderberg Group deserves a bit more press scrutiny.